little series on Jonah, which we'll pick up next week for last week and for this week as well. But turn with me to Ephesians 4. And I'm going to read verses 1 to 7 and then verses 11 to 16 for us. You can follow along on the screen behind me as well. This is what it says. Paul is writing, and he says, "As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There's one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it." Verse 11. "So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. There will no longer be infants, then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." If you're taking notes, you can title this Pathway Sunday. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to get into what we're going to talk about today. Why don't we pray together? Father, we thank you for your goodness towards us. We thank you for your grace. We thank you that you sent your Son to die and to rise again, to conquer death, to give us victory over death, that we can place our hope in Jesus Christ. And Father, we glorify you this morning. We ask that you would speak to us through your word. We ask that in every initiative that we step into as a church, that you would be at the center of it. We ask that you would go before us in all things. Lead us in the way that you have for us, Lord. And I pray that we would become more like you in the process. In your mighty name we pray, and everybody said, amen. Amen. I wonder, where were you on October the 2nd, 1977? How many people were not even born yet in 19? Yeah, yeah, me too. How many people's parents weren't even born at that time? No, they probably were. On October 7th, how many people were around October 2nd, 1977? Let's go. These are the real saints. I see you, Holken. Let's go, man. Incredible. You were 52 then, weren't you? That's right. No, I'm just kidding. I'm in five. On October 2nd, 1977, an amazing thing happened in the city of Los Angeles that changed the history and the course of the world forever. Because two professional baseball players named Dusty Baker and Glenn Burke, which, by the way, how awesome were the names of people in the 70s? Dusty, what a great name. Dusty Baker and Glenn Burke, players on the Los Angeles Dodgers, in the middle of a game, raised their hands in the sky and slapped them together, thus creating the high five. Here is a photo of that taking place. There's the moment the high five was born, according to legend. Now, I'm pretty sure in the history of the entire world, at some point, two people put their hands in the air and put them together. I just want to say that. But as a baseball fan, for me, this is the birth of the high five. And actually, it wasn't until it's easy to imagine that the high five has been around forever, but it wasn't until a couple years after this that the Oxford Dictionary first listed the term high five as a noun, and 1 year later as a verb as well. And I think it's wonderful. I love to give people a high five. Hey, how's it going? High five. It's a wonderful thing. It's great. But I think a lot of people approach church and discipleship, for that matter, like a high five. It's a moment of impact. It's a moment of like contact, impact. It's exciting. It's fast. but it's over in an instant. Actually, I'll invite my wife up, and we're going to illustrate this for you. I'll show you what discipleship looks like in many churches today. That's right, put the jacket back on. Yes, you, okay, very nice. Here we go. This is what discipleship often looks like in churches. Here we go. Boom. Awesome. A moment of connection. But it was really a moment of connection. There was not much there. And then again, okay, another moment of discipleship. Great, that was a good one. Well done. I hear you're supposed to look at your elbow, and then it's always perfect, right? Another moment of connection. Again, let's go. Okay, another moment of impact. Here goes again. Moment of impact. Okay, another impact. It's getting better. Here we go. Moment of impact. And what's happening, quite honestly, is getting tiring. And not only is it getting tiring, it's starting to hurt my hand. And it's kind of like, when is this going to be over? And sometimes we approach discipleship in this way. And at first it's exciting. It's like, whoa, look at that. That was unbelievable. Moment of impact. But over time, people grow a little disenfranchised with it. And they're kind of like, when is this over? This is not as interesting as what it once was. And so a lot of people approach church, approach discipleship like a high five, seeking out something that's exciting. It's impactful. Wow, great. But is it really impact that we're after as a church? I think if we're only committed to impact, it's just like high-fiving over and over and over and over again. Are we impacting people? Yes, but it gets annoying and people just want it to stop. It creates movement, but it doesn't sustain growth. So as a church, actually, we're not after impact. Contrary to myself, I've probably said before, we're going to be an impactful church. We're going to impact our city. I get it. Please extend grace to me. I get that. As a church, we're not after impact. What we're after is influence. Because impact looks like a high five, but here's what influence looks like when it comes to discipleship and when it comes to church. And this is why I asked my wife to come up, because this is what influence looks like. It's not just a moment of like, boom, exciting impact. It's actually a moment of going together with somebody, walking hand in hand. Literally for us, but metaphorically as a church family where we walk together, where we do life together. It's maybe not as exciting all the time, but it actually sustains growth over time and it can build us and we can go together. It's intimate, it's deep, it's relational. It's not just boom and then it's over, but it's, hey, let's walk together this path of discipleship. And that's what we want to do as a church family more than that. Maybe just stay up here with me the whole time. This would be nice. We can just hold hands. I like it. This is great. We're just on a little date here in church. No, you can go ahead. And say, that's wonderful. I think that it's important that we approach discipleship as influence and not as impact, that we come alongside people, that we do life together. It's slow, it's long, it creates lasting change. I heard one pastor from Southern California, actually, it was a great quote. He said, if you want fireworks, go to Disneyland. But if you want a group of people committed to one another over the long haul, find a church. And that's what we want to be as a church family. And the passage that we read a moment ago, the Apostle Paul is giving a vision of a mature church that reflects Christ to the world. And he presents and encourages us to love and to serve others. And for us as a church this morning, we don't just want to be a church that is consumeristic. Rather, we want to be the body of Christ in our city. We want to be active in loving our city. And so today, we're talking like family business in a sense. About what it means for us to continue to grow as a church and what growth means for us as a church. Because we've grown as a church in the past year. And I'm really thankful for it as a pastor. I think that that's a really good thing. Not only our Sunday gatherings are growing, but all of our midweek programming is growing as well. We're seeing connect groups grow and start, and I love it. It's amazing. And why do we care about growth at all? Because every single person here, and also, by the way, every single empty seat here represents a seat that somebody could be seated in, encountering Jesus together as a church family. And actually, I think that it's good that churches grow I'm glad that we can go against the trend where it seems like we all only hear about churches that are closing their doors. I'm glad that the problem we're having is trying to find enough seats for everybody in our building. I think it's a really good problem for us to have, and God willing, and we're working on it, what our next building will look like and what that step is going to be for us. And we're trusting God towards that end. But I'm thankful that we're not figuring out ways to manage decline, but we're figuring out ways to manage and sustain growth. I think that's a good thing. So just by the way, well done, you as the church. I think it's amazing what's going on. And we're not only a crowd that gathers on Sundays. We're not gathering a crowd, we're building a church. Marked by that wonderful Greek New Testament word, koinonia, which means active participation in life together. That's a marker of our church. We're not a crowd that shows up and just sits among strangers and then we go and we see them next week. No, we actively participate in life together. We know what's going on. We pray for one another. We come alongside each other. Yeah, we maybe find our people within the larger group, of course. But nonetheless, we are all brothers and sisters in Christ here together. And we're excited for growth as a church. It's wonderful. But with growth, of course, comes growing pains. For instance, now that we've got more people coming to our church, perhaps this can happen. I find this can happen. You don't see the same people that you used to see because you missed them in the lobby or something like that. You're like, where's so-and-so? Have they been to church in 6 weeks? And you're like, yeah, we've been there every single week. But we miss each other because there's more people. Yeah, that's a reality. I understand that. Perhaps you come into church and, God forbid, there's a new person sitting where you usually sit. I remember the church I grew up in, like my family, we had our row, our pew. You know, it was like the bench. That was our spot. If anybody sat there, I would probably have been like, what are you doing in our seat? Who are you? You know? It's like, okay, yeah, there's more people coming. Maybe you'll have to sit in a different seat. I'm joking, of course, but there's truth in every joke. And so we're looking at what it means for us to address growing pains. How does a church that's growing large remain small? How do you find real, great, authentic community in a church with a lot of people? How can you be a small church with many people? So we've been looking at that because it's important for us as a church. We don't just want to grow wide, but we want to grow deep. Deep in discipleship to Jesus. That we would, as Paul says in the passage we read this morning, become the mature body of Christ. That we would not only be a church that loves Jesus, but that in loving him, we would become more like him. That as Paul writes, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head. That is Christ. We are the body of Christ in our city. And we're to look like Jesus to those around us. And what Paul writes in verse 14, I think is so important because it's only when we are mature that then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. But how do we become mature? How do we grow to become more like Jesus together as a church community? And I think that we need to be able to answer two questions, which both come to us by one of my favorite Christian writers and thinkers, Christian philosopher. His name is Dallas Willard. And he says this, and it's been convicting me the last couple of months, where he said, every church needs to be able to answer two questions. First, what is our plan for making disciples? And second, does our plan work? And so this morning, in an unusual sermon, a very just different thing today. Normally, we take a passage of scripture and just work through it, but we're not quite doing that today. In fact, today's not really a sermon in a sense. Instead, I want to talk about what our plan is for making disciples and becoming the mature body of Jesus Christ. That if people come into our church and perhaps they're not believers yet, they can say, wow, these people look like Jesus. This church looks like what I imagine heaven to be. And I pray that we would become a little outpost of heaven right here in Linköping. I believe that we're called to be that. And so let me say to begin that we are a church for both the curious and the committed. Some churches fall into one of the ditches on either side of this road, where on one side, things become so seeker-sensitive, We over-sanitize everything that happens in church. We remove anything that we might imagine to be a little bit weird because we're worried about what people will think in order that we think that it will attract more people and we'll have them come to our church or something like that. And, you know, I understand, I think that it's not a bad intention. We want things to be accessible to a new believer. But the reality is we encourage people to read the Bible and you just can't get around the fact that there's a lot of weird stuff in here. And actually, I'm more convinced than ever that it is the weird stuff that is actually more attractive. I'm convinced about this. I don't want to try and over-sanitize it or try and make the Bible like shift into like an easily palatable thing that we can. No, we don't necessarily want to go down that way. Now, I also understand, however, that there are some churches where it feels almost impossible to even visit the church and explore faith in that place because everything is just way too over a person's head and people only speak Christianese and it's intimidating. And you know Christianese, you know what I'm talking about. You know, you come into church and people are like, oh, it's nice to fellowship with you, brother. And people are like, what are you talking about? Who talks that way? I guess Christians do. It's like, oh, it's nice to fellowship with you. Hello, righteous brother. And it's like, dude, you sound like a 60s hippie. Oh, righteous or something like that. Thank you for that, Theo. I appreciate that, man. It felt like I was on like a boat here with the wind going in the microphone. And so in some churches, it's totally intimidating. Nobody wants to come to a church and they never, ever have a new person in their church ever. Maybe once every 10 years, a new person comes and it's like revival. Oh my goodness, what is God doing? And so we want to pursue a healthy middle. We always want to be a church where anyone is welcome to come and explore what it means to follow Jesus. We want to be a church for people who are afraid of going to church, where people are welcomed, where people are seen, where people feel loved, where people can be at home. In fact, I pray as a pastor that we always have people in our midst who don't yet know Jesus. And if that's you here today, welcome. We're glad you're here. You're our guest here, and no pressure. Sit back, relax. But we're glad that you're here. Welcome. But also, for those who are following Jesus, we want to be a church rich in discipleship, where people can go deeper into the things of God, where they don't just like coast on like a revelation of God they had when they were 18 and that's it for the rest of their life, but they're actually week in and week out learning who God is in new ways, where people can grow in maturity in their faith, where those of you who follow Christ can receive teaching that grows you, where you can be given opportunities to be stretched in your relationship with Jesus. So we're for both, where the spiritually curious can feel safe and loved and intrigued, and where followers of Jesus can be fed and can be discipled. And so we've been working on something that we're calling Pathway. You can put up that first image. Pathway here. Quite simply, this is a way, it's a tool to help us as a church take your next step in discipleship. It's a way of organizing all of the great things that we do as a church and helping you locate yourself within it. As a pastor, I'm always asking myself the question of how can we as a church help people in their discipleship to Jesus? What do we do? And this is actually a pretty hard question to answer. You might think that it's easy, but it's not so easy to answer this question because everybody in here needs something a little bit different. There's no one-size-fits-all approach when it comes to following Jesus. The person who has been following Jesus for 3 weeks needs something a little bit different than the person who's been following Jesus for 30 years. And in our church, we have both of those people and then everybody in between that as well. And so rather than try to develop one discipleship program and apply it to everybody in the entire church, we feel that it's better to organize all the great things that we do and present them in a way that's understandable so that you can, in a sense, choose your own adventure when it comes to discipleship according to your stage in your walk with Jesus, and how you might need to be stretched to take the next step. In fact, I think of it like this. This is a ski hill. You can put this one up. And does anybody recognize what ski hill that is? It's so hard to see. Ore, my favorite ski hill in Sweden. Fun fact, you might not know this about me, but in high school, I was on my high school, in Canada, my high school ski team, and we did like slalom ski racing. It was awesome. So I like to ski. I was terrible at it, but it meant I got to miss school every Friday for the whole winter, which why wouldn't you sign up for that? Anyways, notice with this ski hill, there's one ski hill with many different slopes. There are slopes on this hill that are designed for beginners. They're designed to help you learn the basics without breaking your neck. There are slopes for intermediate skiers, those that are a little more challenging, where you can challenge yourself, where you can stretch yourself, where you can train on it, and you can get better as a skier. And then you've got like the double black diamonds, you know what I mean, for the hardcore crazies, you know? I know there's a few of those people in here. I love you people. You're awesome. And that's where you can really stretch your skills and really be challenged when it comes to that. And if you're really unlucky, you know, a free trip to the emergency room and an ambulance as well. But the goal...
Hold on. There we go. I'll use this. Thanks, Daniel. The goal of all these slopes, I think, is a battery issue. I haven't changed this battery in 6 months, and I have been playing like Russian roulette with this thing, waiting to see when it would fail, and it just did. So wonderful. I'll take this off. Bear with me for one moment. Here we go. Thanks, David. The goal of these ski hills is all the exact same thing, which is to get to the bottom of the hill. They're all the same goal. Get to the bottom. Go inside the chalet and have a hot chocolate. That's the goal. But I think the church needs to be a little bit like a ski hill in this way. As a church, it's like we're one hill, but we need to offer a variety of pathways depending on people's current stage of their discipleship to Jesus. So what does that look like for us? Well, here's what it can look like. Next slide as it comes up here. All the things that we do as a church... Currently, we want to organize them into three different categories, which is gatherings, courses, and community. And what I'm going to do here is I'm going to briefly outline what each of these things is. It might be hard to see, but you'll get it. It'll flow in a moment here. I'm going to just outline what each of these things is because it's also easy, I understand, to come to a church and not know what is even going on in a church. And it's like, how do you communicate all the time? Here are the things that we have. Here are the things that we're doing. And of course, this isn't static. This isn't like forever. We want to add things to this as well, especially in the courses category. There will be more. But I just want to outline what some of these things are, and then I want to show you how to kind of locate yourself within it and take your next step. So first, we have Sundays. You can go to the next slide with that as well. Thank you. The person who's doing slides today, her name is Zena, and it's her first day doing slides. And I sent like 25 slides to her on her first day, and she's killing it. So well done. I love it. Well done, Zena. Thank you. Fellow Canadian also, so I just want to say hallelujah. We have Sundays. If there's one item in pathway that we encourage everyone to commit to, it's our Sunday services. These are the primary place in which we gather everybody as a church family to worship, to pray, to open God's word, to take communion monthly, to be transformed by his presence. And congratulations, you're here right now, so you're doing very well at this. The next thing that we have is called prayer. These are all under our gatherings category. We have prayer. We have prayer as a church every Monday night at 7 p.m. from 7 until 8. And this is, in many ways, the filling station of our church community. We're thankful to be able to have it. Happens for 1 hour. There's no formal program. There's not much of a script to it or anything like that. But basically, this place is open and we have people praying. Some people sit, some people walk around, some people kneel down, some people, but we pray and we see God together. And at the end, we pray together over the prayer requests that have come in throughout the week. We don't only pray for those here on Sundays, but we pray for them at prayer as well. And so we have this opportunity for prayer every Monday night. Next thing that we have is conferences. As a church, we host two conferences together with our campus in Västerås and Ludvika as well. We have This Is Life Conference, which is our church-wide conference, takes place in March at our venue in Västerås, as well as Celebrate Her, which is a conference for women, which you heard about, which is happening in just under 2 weeks' time. This takes place in September. And by the way, if you're a woman, I just want to say it's still time to register for Celebrate Her this year. It's going to be great. Next thing that we have is events. As a church, we host a variety of events throughout the year, anything from worship nights to events for the men in the church, which we want to do again soon, which is awesome. Last time we ate like meat for breakfast, and then we went and played paddle, which, let's go, it was great. And it was an awesome time. And so we do all kinds of different events throughout the year, and it's awesome to see people join up for those things as well. Beyond that, we also have courses that we do, one of our sort of flagship courses that we have is called Discovery. And Discovery, if you don't know, it's essentially like a theology class, which systematically looks at really the foundations of our Christian faith. It's hosted by our very own Lasse Alfredsson, who is incredible. And he does such a great job with Discovery. We've been running it now for a couple of years, and we have just an incredible wealth of material that he has prepared for that as well. And by the way, Discovery begins this Wednesday night. And I want to encourage you, this is a really incredible thing. You're going to hear a little bit more about it in a moment as well. But I really want to encourage you to take this step and register. It's Wednesday night from 7 until 8:30. We're combining the classes together. It's going to be fantastic. There's more info that's going to come. But please visit our website, lifecenter.se, read more about it, sign up for it, register for it. Even if you've registered before, register again so that we know who's active in Discovery. Sign up for this, commit yourself to it, and it might be a great way for those of you who, you actually just need to unlock some new stuff when it comes to knowing God through his word and the theology that we believe. This is a great opportunity for you to do it, and so I really encourage you, sign up for that. Be there this Wednesday night. It's going to be fantastic. The next course that we're starting this fall is called Alpha. And many of you know what Alpha is. Maybe you don't know what Alpha is, but we're starting to run the Alpha course this fall as a church. It's designed for people who are new to faith or exploring faith. It's been running for more than 30 years. In that time, close to 30 million people have gone through the Alpha course. And in the UK alone, more than 5 million people have become Christians because of it, which is absolutely fantastic. I've got a number of friends who work for Alpha. It was started by a man named Nicky Gumbel out of HDB Church in London. And I think that the work they do is actually really fantastic. And so this is going to be starting in mid-October. And there's going to be a sign-up for this for really the next month. And if you're interested in this, or if you know somebody who would be interested in this, we're going to have sign-ups live this afternoon, and you can register for the Alpha course. It's going to run mid-October to roughly mid-December. And it's going to take place on Sundays right after the church service. We're going to have a room where Alpha is going to take place. It's going to take an hour. And so I really want to encourage you to sign up for that as well. The next course that we have is called DNA. And DNA is a course that we're starting, which is a session that introduces you to the Life Center story, what we believe, our values as a church, our history as a church, what it means to be a part of our church. And through DNA, myself and Victoria are going to host it. We would love to meet you and help you get connected into the life of our church. And so maybe you've been coming to our church for a little while, maybe a half year or something. This could still be for you. Maybe you've just joined our church in the last few months or the last few weeks or last whatever. This could be for you. I want to encourage as many people as possible to sign up for DNA. It's our prayer that eventually we'd have so many people just starting to come out to church, we would need to host this monthly so that people can just understand who we are as a church. This is who we are. And that we can help people into the life of our church as well. And so this is also going to happen. This is going to happen mid-November. And so we're going to have a sign-up period until then. And that's also going to be live registrations later today on our website. And we're going to talk about that more, of course, as well. And we want to see more courses come in the future, too. Short courses on prayer, courses on marriage, courses on all kinds of different great things where we can, just through learning more about these things, we can grow as disciples of Jesus. I know this is a lot of information. Are you okay? Are you with me? Thank you. I know I'm not preaching right now. I'm more telling stuff that's going on. But I think it's important for us just to lay this groundwork. All right, the next category is community for us. And we have had something called Connect Groups for a long time, but we're going to actually rebrand Connect Groups to something called Life Groups, which kind of ironically we had a long time ago in Life Center Church. So everything new is old again and old is new again or whatever it is. Trends come back around. You know what I mean? The 90s are in style right now. So we thought, hey, let's call it Life Groups again. But actually, I think that the name does a good job of communicating something that's actually core to the purpose of life groups, which is, it's more than just a place for connection, but it's a place to do life together. And I love the idea that we can communicate that just in the name of these as a whole. And so these are small groups, if you don't know, that meet all throughout the week across our city. It's a place where you can develop friendships and relationships with others. You can help one another along in the things of faith. In life groups, we discuss the previous Sunday's teaching, and we talk about how to practically integrate that into our lives. I love my life group. I was about to say connect group. I'm probably going to say that 100 times. I'm thankful for my life group. We get to gather together, do life together, read the word together, pray for one another, follow Jesus together. Makes a big difference even in my life. I'm challenged by those guys, and I'm thankful that we get to do it. It's incredible. But also, we want to expand what we're doing in our life groups. And so if you lead a life group, nothing has to change for you. You can just keep going as you've been going. But also, if you lead a life group, we also want to introduce another type of curriculum that if you want to, you can also choose to do with your life group. It's called Practicing the Way. And this, if you're a life group leader, you'll know what I mean by this. You're going to receive a message on Basecamp this week about how to do that. But essentially, Practicing the Way is a curriculum which you can use. They offer short courses on spiritual formation and spiritual practices like prayer or scripture or fasting that a life group can choose to learn from if they want to do that. And it's really great material that I think is, again, going to help us all grow in our faith if you want to. If you don't want to, you can keep going as you've been doing, but if you want to engage with that, you can do that. You're going to be able to sign your life group up at Practicing the Way and attach it to our church so we know all the people who are going through that as well. It's going to be awesome, but more info for the leaders coming this week. The other thing we're going to do, we're going to try out something called interest groups. And interest groups, you know, we believe that it shouldn't be hard to make friends at church. And I think that interest groups can make that a little easier. Interest groups are really just about finding people in church who are interested in, who like the same things that you do. So it's like in life groups, we grow in life together. And then in interest groups, it's a place for connection. And it might not be for everybody. That's okay. We encourage everybody to be part of a life group. Interest group, maybe this is for you. We hope it is. And this is what it is. If there's something that you love to do, come and talk to us. Maybe it's like, here's an example. I like to skateboard. So maybe I want to host a skateboarding group where I say, okay, for the rest of the fall, every other Sunday night, we're going to gather at the skate park at from 7 to 8. See you there. It's that casual. But we'll be there. There's a group of us that's going to join together and skateboard. It's going to be awesome. I'll be there. Emmanuel, you're somewhere. We'll be there together. Maybe just two of us. Victoria, she'll be there too. Just kidding. But something like that, where it's like, okay, you know, maybe you love to go hiking. And maybe you're like, okay, I just want to put it out there that every Saturday morning I go for a hike for a half an hour or an hour or something like that. I'm going to open this up, this interest group, to that. We're going to test this. This is going to come soon. But if you're interested, we have to start here. If you're interested, see what I did, in hosting an interest group, please talk to myself or Victoria, and we'll let you know what that means. And then once we have a few potential interest groups available, we'll let it be known to the whole church, and you can sign up for that if you'd like to do that. Maybe you like to go bowling. Anybody want to start a bowling interest group? Sounds fly fishing interest group? Anybody? Go-karting interest group? Sounds cool to me. Barbecuing interest group? I'm down for that. Frisbee interest group? Let's do that. Knitting interest group? We're not doing that. I'm just kidding. If you like knitting, you're wonderful. I'm just kidding. Settlers of Catan interest group? Definitely not doing that. I'm just kidding also. I'm always making fun of people who play board games, but I actually really like to play board games, so there you go. But please come and talk to Victoria or I if you're interested in hosting an interest group. And then the next thing we have is our life teams. And we're going to outline teams more in just a moment, but we've got all kinds of great teams that you can also be a part of in church. So, a lot of information. Sorry, not sorry for that. But I want to give you some example pathways that might help you locate yourself, and you might understand some next steps for you to take depending on where you're at. So, for instance, maybe you're new to faith. This is what a potential pathway could look like for you. This is you. I hope that you enjoy my drawing that I did this morning. Don't make fun of it, please. But maybe this is you, and you're new to faith, and you're wondering, what's my next step? Okay, for you, your next step in the pathway might be commit yourself to Sunday services, and then commit yourself to going to Alpha. Hey, there's your next step right now. There will be another step coming out of Alpha, but maybe that's your next step for you right now if you're new to faith. Maybe you're new to Life Center Church, and then your next step might look something like this. This is you, and your next step is commit yourself to Sundays. Maybe come to the conferences, come to Celebrate Her, or something like that. Register for DNA to learn more about what our church is, and then get yourself plugged into a life group where you can meet some new people. That's what your flow through this pathway might look like in this season of your life. Maybe you're here and you want to go deeper in your faith, and it might look like this for you. Maybe, commit yourself to Sundays, commit yourself to going to prayer and seeking God every Monday evening. Sign up for Discovery to go deeper when it comes to learning about Jesus and God and what that means. And then join a life group where, again, you can be formed by others as well as you follow Jesus together. And the goal of all these things is that it leads us to maturity in Christ. Or maybe for you, the next one is for you. This is the I'm addicted to church person, all right? And you're just like, I'm going to be at every single thing all the time, no matter what. Please don't do this, okay? This is not going to be good for you. This is just like a whole bunch of high fives all the time, okay? You're not going to get much out of anything if you're at everything. So I just put that up as a joke. And so if you're thinking, how is Life Center discipling me? It's this, like, get involved in some of this stuff. You need to take a step in this as well. And so we've got a lot of great stuff that's happening. Get yourself involved. Choose a way through this that you think is going to challenge and stretch you in this season of your life. Pick what works for you right now. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what your time looks like, but I think that this is a good way to go through it all. So again, this information is available at lifecenter.se/pathway. along with all kinds of links to register for Discovery and DNA and all that stuff. So make sure you check that out later today. That's the plan. I think it's going to be good. But also, Paul says something important, I think, in Ephesians 4, where he says that Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. From him, the whole body, it's talking about the church, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. It's one thing to have a plan as a church, but we are also a people as a church. And it's plan plus people that equals maturity here. What Paul is saying is that it's not just the people that like stand up here on the platform, for instance, that play a part in the life of a church. In fact, what Paul is saying is like, Luke, hey, me as a pastor, Paul's saying, Luke, do your job by giving everybody else a job to do. My job as a pastor is to train you for the works of ministry, to activate the people of God to be the mature people of God. I'm doing a bad job if I do everything. Victoria's doing a bad job if she does everything. We can't do it all in that way. It's easy to come to church and let others do everything. And part of the temptation of a growing church is that we can be tempted to spectate rather than to serve, and to consume rather than to contribute. It's like being a fan of the team versus being on the team. It's easy to be a fan. You show up, you watch. Awesome. You cheer them on. But as a church, we're not about being fans. We're about being a part of the team. Say you go watch a game. Think of your favorite sports team, whatever it may be. You're sitting in the bleachers. It's awesome. You're wearing the jersey. You got your face painted. You're cheering them on. You're committed as a fan. You've even brought somebody to watch the team play as well. You're bringing others. You're excited. This is my team. Cool. You ever play? No. I just watch. And church can be like that. You say, this is my church. I'm bringing friends. I'm wearing the face paint. I'm singing the songs. But really, I'm just watching. In fact, I saw this great image that I think kind of relates to church. 22,000 fans desperately in need of exercise, watching 22 players desperately in need of rest. I think that's pretty awesome. If we're not careful, church can become like this. There's a whole lot of people that spiritually probably need to be contributing, watching a few people who are desperately in need of a rest. And so to become a mature and discipled community is actually to move from being a fan to being on the team, from being a guest to being a part of the family. And you have a unique contribution. Every single person in this room does. We need one another. Every part of the body is different. And so the first thing we invite you into is to stop being a guest, but start being a part of the family. To not just show up on Sundays, but go, you know what? I want to make this my home. So you can move from just sitting in the stands to like moving the ball down the field, from guests to family. If you're here just checking us out, awesome. I challenge you to do something that I like to call stick six, which means stick it out for 6 weeks. Commit yourself to 6 weeks. Come every week for 6 weeks. In a row is kind of important. 6 weeks, commit yourself to six Sundays, and by that time, you'll probably know whether or not this is the church for you. And if it's not the church for you, that's totally fine. We respect that. We would love to help you get integrated into another church in the city. There are other great churches. We're not in competition with them. But we want to see you get involved somewhere, and that's our invitation to you. But stick around for 6 weeks and sign up, go to DNA. I think it's important you do. And what does it take to make Life Center home? Is it like writing your name down, like on a list? What is it? I think even more than that, it's about being a part of the life of our church. To be honest, I don't really care if we have 1,000 names on a list of people that say that they belong to our church. If there's only 50 people serving, the list doesn't mean a whole lot to me at that point. I want to see people involved, engaged in the life of our church, becoming more like Jesus, not as some Christian club, but as a community, a family. Active participation in life together is what we see painted for us in the New Testament. And so making Life Center home, I mean, it's a part of like being a part of it, showing up, engaging with people, joining teams. Paul said, as each part does its work. Again, it looks different for people in different seasons. I get that. But when it comes to serving, let me just challenge us as a church. There are two ways you can serve. On one hand, you can just serve where there's a need. Guess what? We've got needs in our church. We probably always will. Maybe you don't feel passionate about that certain area. Maybe it's not your perfect gift set, but maybe there's a need there, and that could be a need that you could fill. And that's what family is like sometimes, by the way. I imagine myself when I was a teenager. Family dinner's done. I get up from the table, I go and sit on the sofa, and I turn on the TV. Dad comes in the room, and he says, "Hey, Luke, what do you think you're doing? Get in the kitchen, and let's help out with the dishes and the cleanup." I wonder what would have happened if I would have said to my dad, "Dad, you know, sounds great, but I just don't feel like that's my gift, you know? I'd love to help out, but I don't feel that the Holy Spirit is in that or leading me towards that area. I don't feel that that's my spiritual gifting. In fact, I think that my little sister, she might have that spiritual gifting a little more than I do." What do you think Dad would have said to me? Get in the kitchen, you know. We serve where there's a need because we're a family. And so maybe that's where you can serve today. But also, there's the other side of that, that we can also find places for you to serve that aligns with your gifting. Maybe for you, you're a great singer, and worship ministry is a place for you to serve. Maybe you love hosting people in your house. Brilliant. Be a life group leader. Maybe you love helping people take steps in their faith. Incredible. Be a part of the Alpha team. Maybe you're passionate about young people. Join our youth team. Maybe you love making coffee and serving people. Join the cafe team. Maybe you love to chat with people. Connect with them. Join our welcome team. There's so many places for you to be able to serve. I can't do all of that. You can't do all of that. But we can do all of that. And we can all engage together in what God wants to do in our church. And to close today, just for the last few minutes we have together, I want to do something actually that is completely and totally different than what we normally do. Because what I want to do is I want to put faces to the different ministries that we have in our church so that you actually know who some of our leaders are, and you actually know who you can talk to in order to get involved in these things. And so what we're going to do is I'm going to invite up some of our ministry leads, some of our team leads, and other people who are involved in some leadership positions in our church to the platform right now, and I'm going to ask them about the teams that they lead. All right, so why don't we put our hands together and welcome these guys as they come up here quickly. Here they come. Amazing. Amazing. I guess, they're all grabbing a chair. This is great. We're about to turn this into a little talk show for the next 8 minutes. And here we go. Good, good. We rehearsed this before, and it's going pretty good, actually. Not bad. Well done, you guys. Awesome. Have a seat. Have a seat. Have a seat. Alistair, you can go there. Thanks, bro. Yeah, musical chairs. Now we're going to play a song and take away one chair and see. I'm just kidding. Okay, these are some of our incredible team leads, ministry leads in our church, which is amazing to see. What a great group of people we've got here. We have more than this as well, who are part of our leadership team, but they're on their honeymoon right now, and so good for them. And then we also have Gabriel, who's in the front row as well. And what's that? And Linnea. Where? Yeah. Who else? Who else am I missing? There's Linnea and Alan. He's also on our leadership team. He's just a like month old or something like that, but he's on the team, and he's the youngest. But he's great. He's got a lot of wisdom. Actually, it's amazing. This whole pathway. This is his idea. It's crazy. So what I'm gonna do now? I only have one mic because we got another one. That's incredible, Ida. Well done. What we're going to do is I'm just going to introduce who these people are, and they're just going to give a quick overview of the team that they lead, and basically who would be the right person to join that type of team so that you can know. And what we're going to do is after we close our service, these people are going to be lingering here, standing here at the front. And if you want to join their team, come and talk to them, and they will get you signed up to take the next step in that team. And so we are actually going to start. We're going to start right here with my darling wife, Victoria. Victoria, what team have you stepped in and started leading right now?
Jag har förmånen att få leda Life Kids, vilket är så härligt, yeah. Jätteroligt.
Yeah, come on. Life Kids.
Life Kids.
Let's go. who's the right person to join Life Kids?
En person som har ett hjärta för nästa generation och får skapa en plats för barn att få växa i deras relation med Jesus. Vi tror att det finns ingen junior Holy Spirit. Det finns ingen som är för ung för att lära känna Jesus. Och få skapa en plats där de får bygga vänskapsrelationer. Få möta Jesus, få ha kul tillsammans. Och bara få känna sig trygga, sedda, älskade. Och bara ha en riktigt härlig tid.
Where are we going with kids? This is awesome. We're putting an emphasis on our kids ministry. What do we want to see out of kids?
Vi vill se en stor söndagsskola där vi verkligen får se många barn och också via barnen få möta familjer, få komma i kontakt med familjer, få se familjer, hela familjer bli frälsta. Och bara få skapa den här platsen där barn får komma som sagt och få möta Jesus, där vi får se familjer bli förvandlade, få se Linköping som blir förvandlat genom barnen.
Yeah. That's so good. We're excited for kids ministry and what we can do. We got a lot of great ideas. And honestly, I think that the kids team is one of the most fun teams to serve on. And one of the benefits of kids team is every now and then you get hot dogs as well.
Yeah.
Which that
vi har så mycket spännande som vi drömmer om att ha för liksom familjeträffar och ha olika roliga events för barnen och för familjer. Så vi är så laddade.
Come on. So if you want to be on kids team, which honestly you should, it's a great team. Talk to Victoria, and she'll get you integrated into what that looks like and give you more info as well. So that sounds awesome. We are going to pass the microphone now to the one and only Lasse Alfredsson, who leads Discovery. We talked about that earlier. Let's go, Lasse. Now, Lasse, I want to ask you, this is maybe a little wider. Who should come to Discovery? Who's Discovery for? What are we doing in Discovery? Give your pitch for what Discovery is.
Victoria brukar säga att Lasse älskar frågor. Men jag älskar svar ännu mer.
Yes.
Så egentligen Discovery är ju för alla som vill gå djupare i sin tro, men egentligen alla kristna. Och det handlar egentligen om vad är det vi tror på som vi som är kristna, och var står det i Bibeln och varför tror vi som vi tror? Så att och som du sa, det är att lite gå lite djupare i tron. Och jag menar, ofta man bygger sin tro på upplevelser kanske. Eller det finns undersökningar som säger att många unga bygger sin teologi på lovsånger. För man läser inte Bibeln så mycket och sådär. Så att det är fokus på Bibeln. Vad säger Bibeln om vår tro egentligen? Och var står det? Så att det ska uppmuntra oss alla. Det du har pratat om, att gå djupare i sin tro och lärjungaskap. Det är precis vad det handlar om. Liksom. Inte impact utan... ännu djupare influence.
What does a session of Discovery look like?
Det kommer vara typiskt att jag har sagt det nu i 2 år att jag börjar med en kortare introduktion. Men nu ska jag försöka hålla mig till 30-45
minuter. You sound like a pastor right now.
Ja, precis.
Yeah, I've said the same thing, but go ahead.
Men en introduktion om ämnet på 30-45 minuter. Och då, nu menar jag max 45 minuter. Jag siktar på 30. För att när du predikar, då är det oftast enkelriktad kommunikation. Men i Discovery så är det väldigt viktigt med samtal. För att vi har frågor om vår tro, olika erfarenheter, vi kommer från olika sammanhang. Så efter min introduktion då, där jag går igenom, vad säger Bibeln om detta? Så först så samlas vi i olika grupper och samtalar, små grupper, 4 stycken kanske varje. Under kanske 20-30 minuter och sen lika lång tid med tillsammans där vi reflekterar tillsammans. Och tidigare har vi haft 2 grupper, en svensk grupp mellan 6 och 7:30 och en engelsk grupp mellan 7:30 till 9:00. Men vi har varit tvungna att avbryta den svenska gruppens samtal ibland för nu kommer nästa grupp. Men nu testar vi att köra gemensamt 7:00 till 8:30 och jag tror att det kommer funka bra.
Ja, yeah. Very good. Very good. I so agree. And again, it starts this Wednesday at 7 p.m. And so really want to encourage everybody, talk to Lasse right after the service. That's one way that he can get you signed up. But also lifecenter.se/discovery. Register, share it, bring people out. It's really worth your time. They're great sessions.
Om jag bara får säga för reklam, om ni lägger på den här bilden som jag sa här, vad Discovery kommer att handla om i höst. Så ni signar upp er nu för egentligen bara för den här hösten. Och det blir ett tema, den helige ande.
Yeah.
Så först ett par sessioner om vem är den helige ande egentligen? Och vad gör den helige ande i våra liv? Och vad är andedopet och sådär? Och sen så blir det 4 sessioner där vi går igenom i detalj de olika andliga nådegåvorna som finns. Första Korinthierbrevet 12. Och där vi kommer att samtala mycket där. För där finns det mycket erfarenheter och frågor och sådär. Så det är ett temat under hösten, den helige ande. Och det börjar nu på onsdag, 19:00.
How cool is that? Come on, it's going to be awesome. Let's put our hands together. Thank you, Lasse, for that. Great. Moving over to Alistair. You can hand him the mic. Thank you. Alistair is the greatest man from Scotland alive. In the whole world, he's the greatest person from Scotland I've ever known. Scott? Yeah, he's the greatest Scott. Yeah. I keep trying to get him to wear a kilt, which apparently he has, but not in Sweden, unfortunately. So, Alistair works with our production team, together with many others as well, but he's up here today as the representative speaking about it. And when I asked him to be on the platform, he is much more comfortable behind the scenes than on the scene, but today he's on the scene. What do you guys do with the production team? What happens there?
We are responsible for the sound, the fact that you can hear me right now, the screens and the lights are the main things.
Cool.
So on a Sunday, other stuff like youth last night, just helping enabling the worship and the preaching.
Yeah, absolutely. What kind of person would go well on the production team? What do you have to be interested in?
If you know what a computer is, that helps.
But okay.
Just also a willingness to learn. We can teach you everything you would need to know.
Cool.
Someone who maybe doesn't like being up here, like me, who prefers to be at the back, behind the scenes.
Cool.
You'd probably be good for production.
Yeah.
Just a willingness to learn and be a part of the worship team, basically.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I love that you say, first of all, you don't need to know everything to join the team, so you don't have to be an expert. We'll train you. And also, like you said, part of the worship team, because you guys are seriously a part of leading the worship as well. And so that's an important, it's not just like doing the computer, it's leading worship. So that's awesome. Thanks, Alistair. Going to Robin. Let's go, Robin. Robin works with our Reach Ministry. What are we doing with Reach Ministry? What's the team about? Who should join Reach Ministry?
Yes. Så i dagsläget är Reach uppdelat i 2. Vi har City Reach och Uni Reach. Och City Reach har vi varit ute med några gånger förra terminen och terminen innan det. Då har vi varit ute med Jesusbussen och vi har delat ut biblar. Vi har bett för människor, delat evangeliet, berättat om vem Jesus är. Vi är alltså kyrkan utanför kyrklokalen. Och Uni Reach är ett initiativ på universitetet. Så att målet är att den här terminen att vi kommer vara ute på universitetet och dela evangeliet där. Och det kan se ut så här till exempel, att jag drar ut kaffe till någon som är på väg till en fest. Och sen så står det Life Center där och de kanske frågar, varför gör ni det här för? Och då säger jag, tack för frågan, låt mig berätta. Och så får de höra om Jesus. Så att Reach, det är till för dig som kanske inte vågar dela evangeliet. Du vet inte hur man gör. Du behöver bli tränad. Om du vill berätta om vem Jesus är till andra, kom till Reach.
Amen. Amen. That's awesome. Thank you, Robin. Let's pass the mic to Eden Oscar. Eden and Oscar lead our youth ministry, and they're doing a great job at that. Explain youth ministry. What happens? What do we do? Who should join youth?
Yes, vad gör vi? Vi är precis just nu i uppstartsfasen med att starta igång vårt arbete mot ungdomar, att få hjälpa dem i livet och få vara med och vägleda dem och visa på vem Jesus är. Som har nämnts några gånger idag så startade vi igår vår hösttermin med ett ungdomsmöte där vi bjöd in andra kyrkor runt om i Linköping och firade att vi är igång på allvar nu. Sen kommer vi köra varje fredag framöver där vi möter ungdomar och bara liksom visa på vem Jesus är, se dem, lär känna dem, be tillsammans med dem, läser Bibeln ihop, har en härlig stund tillsammans på fredagar och får vara med och svara på deras frågor helt enkelt.
Incredible. Youth is a great ministry in our church. You guys are doing an incredible job together as you lead it. We need more youth leaders too. And so sign up. Let's bring them in. And there's a lot of teenagers in our city, by the way, like tens of thousands that need to know Jesus. And so let's have a vision that actually encompasses all of them, not just what we see right now in front of us, but what we see could be. Let's not only look at, hey, this is what we have right now. Let's look at the youth of this entire city. How do we reach them? It takes a lot of effort, a lot of work, a lot of strategy, and a lot of teamwork to make that happen. These guys are leading the way on that. Ida also, even together with Lessa, they work with like our photo content team in a way. So whenever you see photos on Instagram or Facebook or wherever you see photos or videos, as we've stepped into now as well a little bit more, that's coming from our photo/content team that is generating that. And by the way, is an incredibly useful evangelistic tool for us as well. It's amazing. But tell us a little bit about photo team, Ida. And what happens, and who should join the photo team?
Bra fråga. Nej, men det kan vara om du känner att du är kreativ eller om du bara gillar att fota. Eller så har du aldrig fotat, men du vill testa. Det verkar intressant kanske. Så lär vi jättegärna dig lite mer om det. Vi behöver fler folk. Men som Luke sa, det är ett jätteverktyg för spridningen av Guds ord och oss i Life Center.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, if you're interested in that, please talk to Ida, talk to Lasse as well. They work, they're both on that team. You wouldn't believe the amount of people that come to our church because of something, a post they saw on Instagram or ask about it, really. And I encourage you also, share those posts because it reaches thousands and thousands of people. And, we're speaking to the room here, but outside of this, there's like thousands of people that are impacted by seeing an image of our church. And it's a really good tool to be able to open conversation with your friends as well. And our photo team is really a part of driving that and making that happen, which is awesome. We'll go to Ida now. Ida leads our worship ministry, which is so great. Ida, why should somebody join the worship team? Who should join the worship team? What do we do as a worship team?
Ja, så vi leder ju lovsång på söndagar. Se till att det finns ett utrymme för att möta vår Herre. Skapa en atmosfär där vi kan få prisa honom och leda människor i det. Så jag åker även, inte bara på söndagar, men även på till exempel youth-möten och sådana saker gör vi också. Jag skulle säga att vill man gå med i lovsångsteamet så är det absolut en fördel om man kan spela något instrument eller sjunga. Men man kan också vara ett hjärta för det. Gud kan göra mirakel. Nej, men jag tror att det viktigaste är att man har ett tjänarhjärta. Det är extremt mycket tjänande när man är med i lovsångsteamet. Dels det som man ser här framme, men också saker man inte ser bakom. Och också att man vill se människor. Det handlar om att tjäna både kyrkan och människor. Att älska och se människor möta Jesus. Att få fördjupa sin relation med Jesus. Precis som Lasse sa, så att läsa Bibeln är ju superviktigt. Men när vi liksom prisar och lovsjunger Jesus så får vi liksom en fördjupade relation med Jesus. Och det är så viktigt, den liksom grejen, att få prisa honom, ära honom, oavsett vilken situation eller säsong vi står i som människor. Och har man ett hjärta för att se människor i det, så är man rätt för lovsångsteamet.
Come on, let's go. All right, and we've saved the best for last. Coffee. Now that I've offended everybody else. Coffee leads our welcome team, which encompasses a lot of things. Why don't you give us a quick rundown on the various areas of oversight that you have within welcome team and why people should get involved with either welcome team, cafe team, translation team, or maintenance team?
Yeah. På 10 sekunder. Yes. Nej, men vi vill ju, vem som än kommer innanför dörrarna i kyrkan, vill vi ska känna sig riktigt, riktigt välkommen och känna att man verkligen kommer hem hit och blir omhändertagen och sedd. Och det vill vi verkligen jobba för i Welcome Team. Det är ont i mitt hjärta när man ser någon inte ha vänner eller själv, och jag tror att vi behöver ta hand om varann, vi behöver hjälpa varann, vi behöver stötta varann. Och är du med i välkomstteamet så bidrar det till det. Inte bara stå och hälsa, utan man får ta hand om människor på ett fantastiskt sätt. Vi har också ett fikateam. Ni ser det är fika varje söndag här, vilket är fantastiskt. Det är gratis och det är härligt, och det behöver någon som gör det såklart. Sätter på kaffe och tar fram lite kakor och sånt där. Sen har vi ett maintenance, lite service team också, som också behövs. Lokalerna måste ju städas och se fräscha ut. Toaletterna städar inte sig av sig själva. Det måste göras. Och sen har vi också ett tolkteam. Ni ser Morgan sitter där borta. Oerhört viktigt för att få fram budskapet här fram på scen. Och nu är det engelska och svenska, men det kan också utvecklas. Om du pratar bra svenska så kan man också. Vi behöver stort behov av portugisiska till exempel. Det är bra, David. Så det kan finns utvecklingspotential där också. Verkligen.
Come on.
Och vem då? Ja, har du hjärta för det här? Jag tror verkligen alla kan sätta på kaffe. Alla kanske inte kan tolka, måste jag erkänna. Men joinar du till exempel Welcome Team och känner att du är introvert eller extrovert, det spelar egentligen ingen roll. Jag hjälper dig och hälsa på folk och smila. Det gör jättemycket. Och service team, man ska kunna städa. Det tror jag alla kan. Mm. Så det finns verkligen någonting för alla, skulle jag säga.
Mm. Awesome. All right, why don't we give it up for these guys as they go. Well done. They are going to be lingering at the front here after the service. And please come and chat with one of them if you would like to join one of those teams. Thank you all for bearing with us with lots of info today. I understand it's a lot, but I think it's important to just lay the ground of sort of where we're headed. We'll be back with a more regular sort of sermon next week. But we want to just let people know, hey, we got a plan for where we're going, and we've got a people. And when you put those two things together, we can actually pursue maturity together as a church family. So why don't we just stand to our feet? We're going to close. I'm just going to pray for us, and we're going to close today and go out and enjoy some of the fika. And also, I do want to say, Gabriel is going to be at the welcome table in our lobby, which is kind of the longer table just out here. And he's here to help you get registered for things like DNA, for things like Alpha, for things like Discovery. If you have issues with it, he can help you get registered for that. He also is responsible for our administration team here at Life Center Linköping. So things to do with our calendar and some of our back-end systems, things that we have to help care for people, make sure that nobody falls through the cracks. And we think it's awesome. So that's where we're going. Does that sound all right? Hopefully we're still awake. I think that we are in this definitely warm room. But I think it's really exciting. And the whole purpose of all of this is to help people become more like Jesus. Let's not lose that. That's our goal as a church, is to glorify God. That's the main thing that we want to do. We want to equip people to follow him, to take steps in him, and also to reach this world with the love of Jesus. And so I'm going to pray. And we're going to dismiss here today and go and be blessed throughout the week. But we got lots of great stuff happening this week. We'd love to see you at one of those things. It's going to be awesome. So why don't we just close our eyes and bow our heads for a moment as we pray and finish up this morning. Father, we thank you for this great morning we could have together. We could worship you, could hear from your word, we could talk about all these great things that we get to do as a church. And I pray that as we take these steps forward, that you would be in every step, leading us every step of the way. I pray that this pathway that we're talking about, that every single step of the way would bring us closer to you, no matter whether we're brand new to faith, whether we've been a follower of you for a long time. Lord, we want to know you more. We want to follow you. We want to be committed to you as a church. Continue to bring us together as a church family that loves and cares for one another and actively participates in life together. We thank you, Lord. We glorify your mighty name. And everybody said, amen.